Here we go, folks. Welcome to Inside Middle Tennessee. Anybody have a post-Mule Day hangover?
No. It was a fun, beautiful day, kind of chilly on the front porch here, but it was a fun day.
So. That's the voice of Sarah Elizabeth Hickman McLeod, now famous announcer of the Mule Day Parade.
That's right. Yes,
Sarah, you did a fantastic job.
Thank you.
Broadcasting the Mule Day Parade.
I enjoyed it.
It sounded like you were having fun.
Lou and I had, and Taft, we had a big time. And we'd punch each other on the arm to try to get it, like, look at that, look at that, look at that. I will probably not, the Today Show will probably not call me to help with the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade, but that's okay.
Well, yes. They might too, though. Yeah, you just don't know.
Need the locals.
This, you didn't know we were recording this for an audition tape.
No, yeah, no, I didn't know that. So,
yeah, we're sitting at the New York NBC as we speak.
That was neat. There was lots and lots of people. I looked at drone footage someone posted. The people were out.
What was the estimate? Do you know?
I didn't see the final count.
Whatever it was more than it's ever been.
Yes, that's always.
As it always is every year.
Not to be sarcastic, yes. But it's always bigger than it was before.
You would be sarcastic,
no,
would you, Sheila?
Not I.
No, but I told Blue, and I forget he's significantly younger than me.
Blue is 20 years old.
Yeah, so he's 20 years younger than me. And so I said, when I was little, the Clydesdales came. And then, like, we talked about the Coors horses coming, too. And he goes, really? I'm like, yeah. That was fun. And a lot of the time, some of the Grand Ole Opry people would come and ride in the parade.
You know, we talked a little bit about it last week. We can remember some of the heads of the parade, the Grand Marshals, like Pat Summitt, Phil Fulmer.
Yeah.
All kind of people.
Goober.
Jim Nabors?
Yeah.
No, it wasn't Jim.
No, the other one.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about.
Yeah.
I'll get a text on my phone here in a minute.
Yeah, somebody's going to text us in a minute. But it was a fun day. Fun day. Good parade. I miss the bands being in that, but I understand it's spring break, and it would be hard to get the bands back. And I
wondered what happened to the bands.
I personally have marched in it, and you wear your old tennis shoes. And I know that was one of Scott's things one time.
Do you know the last time the bands were in Mule Day?
You
did it.
Them.
I bribed them to be in there.
Yeah, you did.
I raised $2,000 each for each band program, Mount Pleasant, Spring Hill, and Columbia Central. And I bribed them to be in the parade, and they were in the parade.
Yeah.
And they did a great job, and everybody loved them.
Yeah.
How many years ago was that?
Five or six?
Been a while. Oh, yeah. I think, it's probably around 11 or 12 or something.
Yeah,
like that.
Something like that.
So you're on the county commission at this time.
And I asked the question, why aren't the bands? And they're like, well, it's spring break. And I said, well, would you march if we raise money for you? And they said, well, yeah, but how much are you going to raise? How much do you want? And they said, if you can raise me $2,000, we'll march in the parade. And guess what? We raised $6,000, and we had all three bands in the parade.
Cool.
All right. So maybe we could pool all the politicians in Maury County and make a massive donation to our schools and get the bands back in Mule Day.
There you go. Scott's got a platform right there. But it was neat. It was neat marching in the parade when we were younger because we'd see our friends, and then our family members would, holler at us, hey, they're, you know.
Did y'all have some favorites that were in the parade?
There's a golden mule.
We're talking about the golden mule again.
Mama thinks it's like the children of
Israel and their golden calf.
I don't know.
Are you saying it's a blasphemous mule?
It may well be.
It was a life-size gold mule, and I'm trying to figure out who that was. But there were a lot of beauty queens in the parade, including the Mule Day Queen. Miller Strollers is always an interesting conglomeration of people.
I don't know if Delk out there with his microphone got close to the Miller's Thrillers people. They may abduct him or something, you know.
They shook things at me and whatnot, but
fleet of spears or whatever.
A machete or an axe or something?
We, along with Sarah Elizabeth's broadcast, we did live stream the parade as well, so you can get the video and the audio.
Yeah, we watched it at home.
Yeah, on the Facebook page.
It's still on our Facebook page, or go to our website. If you want to watch the parade and hear Sarah Elizabeth, you can go there.
It was fun. It was fun.
Good deal.
Oh, and Clay Walker, he sung like a section of one of his songs.
Two measures.
Like for Delk. And that was really cool. So, but anyway, we're recovered from Yule Day. Spring is sprung.
Just barely.
Just barely.
Anybody get enough rain the last couple of days?
The yard is, as Mama would say, rotten. It's soggy.
It's squishy.
That's all right. Scott likes it because we're going to get his first cut of hay now. It's guaranteed.
Yeah, we'll need that. Yeah, we do.
And all. Scott, anything on spring practice at Memphis? There is,
when
is
that
still
that
going on?
Yeah, the spring game is April 20th. Gabriel has to report on April 20th to get all of his sizing for his shoes and helmets and all that kind of stuff. They got to get him go through his concussion protocol checklist of questions that he has to answer. He has to get his physical, and then the spring game is on the 20th, so he'll get to go to the spring game, and then they'll sign him up for summer school. He has to report Memorial Day.
Okay.
So it's he's got about 6 more weeks, and then he's off to college.
All right. Is he down there watching spring practice now?
No. Or? No, he's going to school.
Okay.
He's still got school to go.
Yeah. I thought you mentioned last week.
Wow, to the end of the road.
He was gonna, they wanted him to attend.
He did. He came down for a practice. They are, they're Zooming with him now, the defensive coaches are, to teach him the defense. They Zoom about every other day, I think it is, or every other evening. And they go over the calls and the positions and how to read the defense and things like that. So when he gets there Memorial Day, he can do the things that he has to do in practice.
When he went down there and watched them, did he come away with any revelations like, my God, Dad, big and they're fast?
You know, well, I mean, when you see the linemen, they're all like his brother, right? They're all 6'5", 300 pounds. But he said the outside linebackers, and we've looked at it on the heights and weights, he's going to be one of the tallest and one of the heaviest outside linebackers they have. So he should be able to physically hold up very well. It's just now the mental aspect of it, of one, learning how fast everything is. And, you know, like in high school, when they break the huddle, that's the formation. Well, in college, they might break the huddle and shift 3 times before they run the play, making you adjust all the time. And it's becoming, this is what it's really interesting. This is what the defensive coordinator said. He said, I'm not looking for the best football players to be out on the football field. I'm looking for the best players that won't make a mental mistake.
They must think.
Because if you make a mental mistake,
I'm gonna
say
it's a whole other level.
Yeah, well, if you make a mental mistake and you're in the wrong spot, you jeopardize the defense. If you're in the right spot, then you're already expected to have the athletic ability to be able to play at that level. So he's just looking. He said, I'm looking for defensive players that I can trust. And so he'll have a great shot to play. And the rules are different now. You can play 5 games and still be redshirted.
So okay. I thought it was 5.
It's almost half the season now.
Well, wow.
So he can play in 5 games, and they kind of did talk to him a little bit. Memphis goes on the road to Navy, and Navy runs the triple option. Well, he's one of the biggest outside linebackers, so it's going to be a heavy run game.
Mm-hmm.
And they talked to him. They said, if you can do what we ask you to do and do it right, he said, you might start against Navy because we need bigger people in there to hold up against the running game. So it'd be interesting to get to go to Annapolis and start against Navy.
Scott, have you ever been to Annapolis?
Yes, I have. It's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
Beautiful.
And
they'll be going up 4th game, so that would put them almost into September.
Yeah, I would recommend anybody who's never been to go.
Go.
And take the Navy tour that they'll give you. Oh, they got old veterans at the Visitor Center. Mm-hmm. Pay them about $5 or something like that, and they'll take you a tour. And they'll take you in places that you can get in that you couldn't get into otherwise. And it's really, really cool. It'll last about an hour and a half or so.
But the interesting thing is, you know, we have the college football playoff this year, right? Top 12 teams go to the playoff. They're predicting right now that Memphis will be the 12th team.
Well, alrighty.
And their potential first round matchup at Notre Dame.
Oh,
so Gabriel might get to go to Notre Dame in the college football playoff his first year coming from Columbia Academy. I mean, it's just it's really exciting, you know. I mean,
that campus is
and it'd be in
awesome.
December.
Oh, and well, snow up there. Yes. I've been up there in snow, and it is unreal how deep the snow is, because it's not something we're accustomed to here.
So this is the way too early college playoff prediction.
what they're doing is they're picking Memphis to win the American Conference, and that's an automatic bid.
Yeah.
So and they're predicting them to be 11-2. They play Florida State, and their other tough game is at Tulane.
Ooh.
At Tulane.
All right, now Tulane's in their conference, right?
That's correct.
I see Florida State's still
ACC. Right. So well, what they're
Florida State's still ACC for now.
Yeah, I think what they're saying is it'll be Memphis and Tulane for the championship, and Memphis to win it.
Okay.
And therefore Memphis gets that automatic bid.
So he's moving to Memphis as soon as he graduates. Just about.
Yeah, he graduates May 10th.
Okay.
And he's got about 2.5 weeks off, and then he's in Memphis. So it's right there, and then they're there for 6 weeks, and then they break for 3 weeks, and then boom, they're in there to prep for the fall.
How about that?
And so we could be watching them. We might be watching him playing college football playoff games.
How about that? Well, we look forward.
Have they assigned him a number?
Not yet. Not yet.
Okay.
Not yet. No, he goes. In fact, on April 20th, here's what's crazy is when I went to Wisconsin, they assigned me 18. And I was 18 for 4 years. But now they allow they shuffle the deck every year. They allow them to pick new numbers every year. The quarterback for Memphis in his fourth year starting has been a different number every year.
That'd be confusion. How'd you know?
Right.
You might get mixed up where last year's number.
it's kind of a funny story. At Columbia Academy, he's always wanted to wear number 19. He always wanted to play tight end and wanted to wear number 19, right? One better than his dad. Right. But over at CA, they never let him play tight end. And Gabriel could be probably one of the best tight ends in the state that nobody knows about. He's got great hands. He always played guard, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they always had to give him a 50 number. And so he's like, I want to go to college and I want to wear 19 just one time in my life. So we'll see. We'll see what happens.
I don't know if an outside edge rusher is going to get 19.
No, but we'll see. I mean, and plus they're all duplicate numbers. So you gotta wait for the shuffle of the deck. And then you got to see what's left over as a freshman.
Well, yeah.
You know, now the good thing is his last name begins with a C and it's alphabetical, so he's got a fighting chance.
How tall is he? How much is he weighing right now?
He's about probably pushing almost 6'3". And he went from, at the end of the football season, he was at 200. He's now 215 pounds.
Oh, no.
That's a big jump.
They've got him on this strength it's college strength program, right?
Yeah.
And you see your son and he's walking around in his underwear, right? But you see him physically, you can see the drastic change of mm-hmm. muscularity in his body.
Mm-hmm.
And he's gonna be a problem for people. Because one thing he doesn't lack is aggression, so he's going to be fine there.
You know, the thing about him, he's 215 going as a freshman. By the time he's a junior, he'll be 235.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know,
and
that'll hurt when he hits you.
And bigger, stronger, and faster.
Yeah.
So. There you go.
Well, good for him.
Well, that'll work. Well, I tell you what, folks, I think Delk has told me that we're up against a break and we need to pay a few bills. So, Delk, I'm going to let you search there for a second and we'll get with it. We'll be right back with Inside Middle Tennessee.
This is P. Whitty with Rubik's Groove. You're listening to WKOM 101.7 FM, Columbia, Tennessee.
Parks Motor Sales in Columbia has a large assortment of quality new and pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs, a trusted sales staff, and financing plans that fit any budget. Visit Parks once and you'll quickly discover why people all over Middle Tennessee have been buying vehicles there for more than 60 years. And factory-certified technicians can service and repair your vehicle as long as you own it. Go to ParksMotorSales.com or stop by the lot at 919 Nashville Highway and take a test drive today.
Hello, I'm Barbara Lincoln with Holland's Pharmacy. You may have heard our previous commercials about compression hosiery that we carry at Holland's Pharmacy. Well, we've recently expanded into a full line of knee braces, back, wrist, ankle, and other support wear. We will gladly help you get just the right fit for these items and, of course, special order items to ensure the proper fit. Come see us at Holland's Pharmacy, 1608 Hatcher Lane, or call us at 931-388-4233. 388-4233.
Hi, I'm Steve, the garbage man. Are you new to Maury County? We want to welcome you and your family. We are a local residential garbage service, and we want to be your garbage man. We've been around for over 30 years, so we have a reputation. Check us out at garbagemaninc.com or call Mike at 931-540-0919. You could also ask your neighbor. 931-540-0919.
American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning is built to a higher standard, so you can focus on the problems in your life that actually matter, like the drywall that somehow isn't. American Standard Heating and Air Conditioning, built to a higher standard.
Call Davis Heating and Cooling at 931-388-2090 for all your home comfort needs. Davis Heating and Cooling is your local American Standard dealer and proudly serves the Maury County area. Find Davis Heating and Cooling online and on Facebook or call today, 388-2090.
Attention, Middle Tennessee. Ready to unlock the secret to faster, easier weight loss? Introducing the revolutionary weight loss injection that's changing lives. Now at the Dr. Gill Center. Shedding those extra pounds has never been simpler. It's quick, it's effective, and it's here to help you. Imagine stepping into a slimmer, healthier you. Our experienced team is here to guide you every step of the way, ensuring you achieve your weight loss goal. The Dr. Gill Center is looking for 10 people who have more than 15 pounds to lose in the next 30 days. Call 615-882-4838 today and start your journey to a new you.
For 40 years, the Jewelers Bench has worked hard for their customers and provided the highest quality jewelry at the best price. They keep going back. Recent renovations have allowed them to expand their inventory. More high quality jewelry, custom vintage and estate pieces, and professional jewelry and watch repairs. They also buy gold. The Jewelers Bench, still here, still great service. 808 Trotwood Avenue, Columbia.
Hello, my name is Connor Mims. My wife Bradley and I live in Columbia, Tennessee in Riverside. I am a deck and porch builder and my wife is a second grade teacher at Riverside Elementary. My specialty is designing and building elegant and comfortable porches and decks. Let me work with you to design and build the porch or deck of your dreams. Give us a call today from our website, MimsModernLandscape.com. That's MimsModernLandscape.com, and check out what we have to offer. Thanks.
Hey, this is Seth Moss at Tennessee Valley Equipment, a premier FAE Primetech, Bandit, and Shurex dealer. We are your dealer for all of your land clearing and forestry mulching needs. We sell equipment, provide repair service, and parts along with a rental fleet of mulching equipment. We also offer mulching teeth, blades, and sharpening. Our number one priority is getting you up and running as quickly and affordable as possible. Tennessee Valley is located at 300 Santa Fe Pike in wonderful Columbia, Tennessee. Stop by or give us a call today at 931-981-9812.
The generations that have paved the way for us deserve respect, integrity, and compassion. This is Kelly Dobson, owner of Caring Hearts Home Healthcare. My grandmother and mother started this business in 2005, and I was honored to take over in 2012. Licensed and insured, we help our aging community stay in the comfort of their own homes. Online at CaringHeartsHomeHealthcareLLC.com, by phone 931-381-5470, or in person at 1121 Trotwood Avenue here in Columbia. That's Caring Hearts Home Healthcare.
Life gets busy, and sometimes slowing down to buy your family quality food can seem impossible. This is Terry Taylor with Taylor Family Farm, and we offer local home delivery in addition to our local drop locations to help with that problem. Now you can get your favorite pastured poultry, pork, and grass-fed beef delivered right to your door. Visit TaylorFamilyFarmTN.com to find out how. We believe in healthy food, healthy people, and healthy community at Taylor Family Farm.
And we're back with Inside Middle Tennessee. You know, I failed to introduce the players. I'm Jim Ross. We got Del Kennedy on the board. Thank goodness.
Jim.
Representative Scott Sapicki, busy at work on his laptop.
I know. He's like typing away over there.
Yes, he is. Make and every moment count.
That's right. State business. State business. And the dynamic duo of Sheila Hickman and Sarah Elizabeth Hickman McLeod.
Here we are.
Yeah.
We're here.
Do we have an announcement to make about, you know, we had the auctioneers on twice. We had a lot of fun with those folks. And so, they had a successful auction, I think.
Dad just came over from Rotary, and they made about $30,000, but that's before the expenses are taken out. So after the expenses and stuff are taken out, they'll probably have about $17,000 or a little bit more to go to the scholarship fund.
That's great.
And those scholarships go to Culioca, Hampshire, and Santa Fe, the unit schools. So, and then the ones that are continuing, they got the scholarship when they graduated, and they can continue to get it for 4 years.
They can apply to renew.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So that's awesome. That's awesome.
They've given away $80,000 in that program.
Yeah.
Well, now it's going to be close to 100.
Yeah. But they've had good luck with those schools are such treasure in this county. We don't realize how important those K through 12 schools are.
Oh, yes,
are.
We do. You try to shut one down, you'll see exactly how important it is.
Yeah. You know, one time, I may have told this, I do repeat myself, but one time when Mr. Cox was superintendent, and I loved Mr. Cox, he was so special, but he told him that he was going to close Hampshire. He had that conversation with Eddie one time. They're going to close Hampshire. And somebody said, well, if you think Moses had a lot of trouble getting those children through the wilderness wanderings, then you just try to close Hampshire.
I think Scott's told us before that I think that Murray County is only one of four counties that still have unit schools.
There are five or six in the whole state, and we've got three of them. Five.
Wow.
Something else. So I thought I would pull out, you know, in the Mule Day spirit, keeping with the Murray County history thing. I pulled some more stuff out. I used to do a history quiz with y'all, and that was hilarious when we had more people in here. But I'm just going some random facts about Murray County that you may or may not know. So if you're new here, this might help you assimilate a little bit better. I don't know. It is Murray County. It's not
Maury.
It is Murray County. So it was founded in 1807, and it was created from a portion of Williamson County and lands that were purchased from the Indian tribes south of the Duck River.
Okay.
The three Indian tribes were Chickamauga, Cherokee, and Creek. And if you ever do a federally funded project, you have to notify these tribes that you're going to do a project in a letter to the tribe.
All right, which one was more predominant in this area?
I think the Cherokee were.
Really?
I
would have thought Chickamauga.
It might be. I'm rough on my
I knew Chickamauga was right around. I thought Cherokee was like East Tennessee, but Chickamauga was down around Chattanooga.
Yeah, I think maybe it was the Creeks. There was one old Indian they called Dragon Canoe.
But I need to brush up on my local Indian history, probably. So, but the first county seat was at the intersection of Mooresville Pike and Morrill Lane. Joseph Brown and others established the county seat at a meeting in his log cabin. And there is a historical marker out there.
I will say, there is a marker out there.
Yes. So, there were counties created from Murray County, Marshall, Giles, Lawrence, and Lewis.
So, that meant we were really big at one time.
We were very big at one time. And the county seats were chosen. They had to be centrally located within a day's horseback ride from its most distant point.
Yeah. Now, my question has always been, who rode the horse from every distant point?
Yeah, to figure that out.
Yeah, who measured out that?
Yeah.
There's miles from the county seat to its boundaries are about 15 to 20 miles. So...
Okay.
Roughly.
And, you know, the funny thing is, you get into some states, like I'm thinking about Florida, or if you go to Nevada, they've got counties that are almost the size of half of Tennessee.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes, they're large. Yeah.
Oh, they're
large
huge.
Large municipalities.
Yeah. Big blocks of land.
The population at the founding of Murray County was less than 1,000. 10 years later, it was over 10,000. 20 years later, it was 21,000. And I remember when I worked in Nashville, when I was just graduated from graduate school, there was a sign going into Nashville that says, so many people move here per day. And it was a real estate ad. Mm-hmm. At that time, the old Pioneer Road from Nashville to Columbia saw one family per day arriving to settle here.
Which was like a pretty, now.
Well, which was a pretty decent number.
At that time.
You know, now, you're talking about right now, because you said 20 years later, so you're talking about 1830s ballpark.
Yeah.
About that. I do remember that the late Bob Duncan used to tell us that during the Civil War, or at the beginning of the Civil War, that Columbia was larger than Atlanta.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And it's just hard to believe.
That's hard. Know, yeah.
But I think what people don't understand is the reason that it was, is because we're the last jumping off point before you got onto the Natchez Trace, and that was a main trade route down in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So
I thought that was
Nolens.
Nolens. There were 100 American Revolutionary War veterans settled here. Several of the veterans were active in local politics and helped set up the city, mm-hmm. lay off the city. Isaac Roberts was the first chairman of the Quarterly Court. James Dooley laid off the streets of Columbia. Samuel Scott rode with the swamp fox, Francis Marion. And General Nathaniel Greene had a land grant of 25,000 acres. And he was George Washington's most gifted and dependable officer and a very close friend.
And tell everybody where his Murray County home was.
And his Murray County home is on Williamsport Pike. It was built by his daughter, and it's Skipwith Hall. And the house actually has a casket room in the top. Most historical houses had a room, the attic, and you would have a casket or two.
Because
they
come to the wilderness and they brought what they needed with them.
And I think David Miller of Wiremasters has
Hill. Hill.
Okay, thank you.
David Miller is Miller's Thrillers.
You're right. Thank you. And put a turned it into a wedding venue.
It's beautiful.
And does he live there?
Or? I don't think he lives there, but
that's
I've heard in either Bob's books or Jill Garrett's books, the largest deposit of phosphates in Murray County is under that house.
And it was sold years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the largest laid stone wall now circles it, because he put a lot of money into a new stone wall to put around
it. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And if you want to know more about the Revolutionary War soldiers here, Maurice Lightfoot of Mount Pleasant, wonderful historian that's no longer with us, she wrote a book called Let the Drums Roll.
I believe that was her master's thesis.
It was her master's thesis. Zion was settled with a group of South Carolina Presbyters from Williamsburg, South Carolina. They purchased 5,120 acres at $3 an acre.
All right, who has the oldest graves in it? Zion or Rose Hill or...
I think
here.
Zion does.
Or over here on Greenwood.
No, Zion does.
I expect Zion does.
Yeah. But they've got some 1700s, I think, in gravestones, if you can still read them.
Yeah. The plantation that was won in a game of chance, or the land, was Rattle and Snap, and that's where General George Polk lived, and he was a relative of James K. Polk, and he divided the 5,000 acres among his sons, and that's why we have Hamilton Place, Clifton Place, all that, and Ashwood that burned, and the St. John's Episcopal Church was in the center.
Mm-hmm. Did you say one burned?
Ashwood burned.
Okay.
That's where Leonidas Pope, lived. And it was a beautiful house. There's a picture of it. And
he was the bishop of the state of Tennessee, Episcopalian, wasn't he?
Yeah, the fighting bishop.
And then he went to the war and was the fighting bishop.
Yes.
Okay. And he had a great deal to do with founding Swanee.
Yes. Okay. Yes. We've had...
Another University of the South.
That's
Swanee.
We've had five courthouses, counting the new one that's being built where the old Daily Herald used to be. There was an 1807 log one, an 1809 brick one, an 1844 brick one, the 1906 courthouse that sits in
Indiana limestone.
Indiana limestone. And then we have a new courthouse, the Justice Center, being built right now. The newspapers.
Now, Delk says it's under budget.
I remember when all that was going on.
I don't going to believe I got to get this thing in here under budget.
Be interesting. Newspapers in Murray County. There was the Columbia Herald, the Daily Herald, the Murray Democrat, and the one that popped up in the 80s and failed miserably in Main Street Murray. I can't remember the 1980s newspaper, but it was on, their office was on South Main Street.
It was Murray something, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, they gave them away. I think that might have been what ruined their budget. Yes.
You know, Dale, do you remember when the Finneys took over the, did they take it over as Columbia Herald and change it into a daily, or do you know?
About 1900. And I'm not sure if it was a daily at that point or not.
Yeah.
Columbia was made the county seat in 1808. The city limits were Burn Springs by 9th Street to Frierson to White Springs, and then it was finally chartered in 1817. The cash crops, in the early cash crops, were cotton, tobacco, and hemp. Here.
Well, you got to make rope.
Yes.
That's right. Rope was
rope is big in the agrarian society.
Yes. The first quarterly court met on December the 21st, 1807, and their second meeting was in March. So it was a quarterly court. They met
called it a quarterly court for years.
Yes.
I can remember being young and it was called quarterly court.
Yeah. And they used to have it on the radio. The quarterly court meetings were on the radio.
No, I don't.
You wouldn't remember that.
But there were two famous girls' schools here, the Columbia Female Institute, founded in 1835 by the fighting bishop Leonidas Polk, who also founded Swanee. Mama, you got ahead of me on my list.
Oh, excuse me.
The Athenaeum, founded in 1852 by Reverend Franklin Gillette Smith. Both of the schools were Episcopal girls' schools. So. And they were next door to one another. There's drama with that.
I was going to say, did one of them start because they got crossways with the other?
Yes, that's another story
that
for
is
another
a
day.
Real story.
So the first public cemetery here was Greenwood Cemetery on Highway 31.
Okay.
It's 2 acres, and President Polk's parents are buried there. The second public cemetery is Rose Hill Cemetery, which is off Cemetery Avenue. The beautiful headstones. If you haven't been to either one, Greenwood's early headstones, but Rose Hill, the headstones out there are just ornate and beautiful, and that cemetery has wonderful history. Let's see. Public schools. In 1911, Murray County had 58 public schools. They operated them on a $11,000 budget.
They had 8 students per school. Maybe.
Most of them were one-room schoolhouses with one teacher responsible for grades 1 through 8. And Columbia Central was the first public high school.
What year was that?
Here. 1911.
Doug, where'd you go? What school did you go to in that?
I went to elementary school in McDowell.
Was McDowell one of those in 1911 that Duck was attending?
I don't know.
Let me tell you, McDowell was one of the first ones.
Yeah, they were one of the first ones.
McDowell and Highland Park, I think, were two real early.
Yeah, well, Andrews. Delk,
I'm insinuating you're 113 years old.
It's possible.
It's possible.
Hey, Delk, don't let them get you down. I'm a proud alumni of McDowell myself.
There is a point in Murray County that's 1,000 feet above sea level. Do y'all know what that is? It's Theta. Theta in northern Murray County.
Really?
Yeah, it's the highest point.
I had no idea that we got up that high.
Yes. We have a Congressional Medal of Honor winner from World War II that the bridge is named after, John Harlan Willis. And that's a wonderful story to tell. We had President Johnson and Lady Bird come in 1967. Lady Bird was invited to come dedicate Columbia State, and President Johnson came too. And on the way out of town, they had to stop at the Dairy Queen.
Why am I not surprised?
And that is now Fuzzy Duck Liquors. That's where the Dairy Queen was when I was a kid. So I think that was really cool.
Right across the street from the Middle Tennessee Bank building, now City Hall.
So everybody sees the name Dimple of the Universe, and that was coined by John Trotwood Moore. And he wrote... in his book, he wrote, the book is called Songs and Stories from Tennessee, that the Middle Basin is the dimple of the universe.
Because it is.
So there. So those
well, now,
are some,
what about this one? Old South Charm, New South Progress.
I don't know who came up with that.
I don't know. That was on the sign when I was
there.
There
are awesome signs. At
yeah.
One time.
That was on some signs.
I'd be interested to know who came up with that.
But I love to go. I thought about this morning when I was doing all this, gathering all this information. There was a book from the 80-something that's like an almanac of Maury County. It has prominent figures listed in it. I'm going to pull that out. And some people may know what I'm talking about, but I inherited it somehow.
That little pamphlet line book. Oh, I know what
it's red and white. It's a pamphlet and it says the almanac. I'm going to pull that out and see what I can find in it.
Well, you probably find a bunch.
A bunch. But it is very neat when you start digging into the history of Maury County.
There you go, folks. Well, I tell you what. We're Jokes up against the break.
Doug says we got to take a break, pay the
up
bills.
Up against the break, and pay the bills, so we can do Mule Day next year. We'll yes. be right back with Inside Middle Tennessee.
This is Jumpin' Joe Wiley, and you're listening to 101.7 WKOM Columbia.
3, 2, 1.
Alert, alert! Columbia Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram has a huge announcement. We're expanding our service center to get you in and out quicker than ever. That's right, 5 new service bays to get your vehicle back on the road. Don't drive a Chrysler Dodge Jeep or Ram. It doesn't matter. Our certified technicians are trained to work on all makes or models. More service, less time. Only at Columbia Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Family owned and operated.
You can count on us.
Hi, Terry Tillis from Tillis Jewelry. When you think of diamonds, what do you think of? Rare, precious, timeless, sparkles like the sun. They are timeless and nothing like them on earth. Then do you think, where do I buy local to buy the perfect ring? Maybe a diamond pendant or earrings or maybe a new diamond band. Look no further. Tillis Jewelry carries all your diamond and jewelry needs. Stop by and see our wonderful collection. And remember, if you don't know your diamonds, know your jeweler. Tillis Jewelry, downtown Columbia.
This is Mark Curry at the Trailer Store. We are a local, family-owned business. Every day, I work with my wife, Susie, my mother, Becky, and my son, Justin. We offer a full line of lawnmower trailers, utility trailers, stock trailers, and a full line of trailer parts. We also offer service. Come see us at 1021 New Lewisburg Highway. Call us at 931-381-2795. That's 931-381-2795.
Are you thinking about a new fence? Maybe you need a pole barn. Then you should give Sands Fence Company a call. That's 931-309-1644. Will Sands has built his business based on the principles of honesty, quality, and integrity. Sands Fence Company has been in business for over 20 years, providing the community with farm, residential, and commercial fencing, as well as pole barns and buildings. Call today for a free estimate. Sands Fence Company, 931-309-1644. 931-309-1644.
Do you have trees that need trimming or removed? Do you have stumps that you want ground? A1 Tree Removal is a family-owned and operated business local to Columbia and Lewisburg and servicing surrounding Middle Tennessee. They are licensed and insured and provide free estimates. No job is too big, no tree is too small. Give old Luke a call or text Luke at 931-359-3113, or you can check them out on Facebook and tell A1 Tree Removal that you heard this ad on the radio. If you love America, you will love A1 Tree Removal.
Debbie Matthews, realtor, and her husband Jason, who is a pro songwriter, also own a music publishing company. They live in historic downtown Columbia with their dogs. Dog rescue work is their passion project. They consider Middle Tennessee their backyard, and their lives are full of all things Tennessee. Debbie says there is no greater honor than to help someone find a home. To be trusted with that job, there is no greater privilege. Call Debbie at the Nashville Realty Group, 615-476-3224, 615-476-3224.
Attention, ladies and gentlemen, flight 777 to Funtown with continued service to Wintersville is ready to board. Please make sure you have your new instant game tickets from the Tennessee Lottery in hand, and thank you for choosing game-changing fun.
With chances to win up to $500,000, you'll be flying first class to cash prizes with our new instant games. Hurry to your nearest Tennessee Lottery retailer to get on board today. Only from the Tennessee Lottery. Please play responsibly. Pick a number between 0 and 9. That's right. Now pick another one. Right again. Now pick one more.
Wow, you're on a roll. Now, if you only would have played them. Play your lucky numbers today with three daily drawings and top prizes of $500 to $5,000. And add Wild Ball for more winning combos. Cash 3 and Cash 4, only from the Tennessee Lottery. Game-changing, moolah-making fun. Please play responsibly.
Are you prepared for what many experts believe to be an exponential tax increase when the Trump tax cuts end here soon? In addition to protecting your hard-earned money during your lifetime, what about college planning? Would you like to see an excellent alternative to the 529 plan? If you think you can do a better job of spending your money than the federal government, give us a call. Call us at 931-269-9520, 931-269-9520, or go to optimalfinancialplanning.com.
Some people are just obsessed with their lawns. They'd cut their grass with a pair of scissors if they could. Thanks to Gravely, they don't have to. You see, Gravely makes not only the best built and most comfortable lawnmowers, but they also leave your house looking like a doggone country club. So whether you're a commercial landscaper wanting the best or just a perfectionist homeowner, you can't do better than a Gravely.
See our full line of Gravely products at Murray County Equipment, 1075 North James Campbell Boulevard in Columbia, Tennessee, or check us out on Facebook.
Dropped about 35 pounds. Here we go back with Inside Middle Tennessee. Well, I tell you what, you just never know
what wonderful information is available here.
That's
that
right.
Folks can never know exactly what was said.
Yeah, we were talking about trying to keep sugar out of the house and the failings that entails a lot of times.
Oh, that's just not Southern.
Yeah.
That's just. What? Granny, mama's mama, if the sweet tea wasn't sweet enough, she'd
put some more sugar in it. And if she made one cake, she made two. Or if she made one pie, she made three. And if you had a meal there, you had dessert. There wasn't any quibbling about what are we going to have for dessert. She already had that under control.
Yeah.
And she made fried pies. I found my recipe last night. I was looking for a recipe, and I found my recipe for fried pies.
And you're bringing some into this show.
I'm going to try to make some. I've got the apricots, and I'm going to see if I can. I have made them, but it's been a long time. But
she hadn't made them in my lifetime. Let's just say that. My grandmother made them, but
anyway, I am going to make not these kind you get at the store in the little wax paper bags. This is the real McCoy.
This is a real deal.
Yes,
huh?
And you have to have dried apricots. And you have to have Crisco to go in the flour. Otherwise, you won't be able to chew it. So I got it out last night and perused it. And I think I've got everything except I have to cook the apricots down and get them real low, cook them on low, get them real thick.
Yeah.
And you do have to put some sugar in apricots. They'd be just a little tart there.
I'm sitting here. My imagination is running wild with me right now. I'm getting real hungry.
Well, my mother would cook. She would make a stack a foot high, and she'd get them out of the frying pan, put them on the plate, and put wax paper between them. Then she'd fry two more, and she'd put them on the plate, and then she'd have a stack about that high.
And then every time you walk through the kitchen, you'd get one.
Apricot fried pies.
Just snagged one.
Yeah. Huh? Oh, yeah. It didn't matter. Like, she did her rolls. Oh, my gosh. If she made them, we were waiting because when she was making rolls and we were standing there, my cousin Bert
were those
and
yeast
Haley,
rolls,
yes.
Yeah, Bert, my cousin Bert and Haley and I would stand there and we would wait, and then we'd get butter.
we did that with Grandmother Hutchinson. She made wonderful rolls, and if we were all in the kitchen and she cooking rolls, she'd say, if y'all don't stop eating the rolls, we won't have any for supper.
Yeah. And, you know, and that same scene played out in God knows how many other households across the South.
Oh, they smell so good. You know, well, back in the ancient days, they made bread at school. And when you opened the door to come into Central High School, that the wafting of that wonderful smell of homemade rolls went all over the building. It was so good.
I love sourdough.
I like
that smell. All right, Scott, you're looking at your watch like you've got all kind of good stuff in here. Is it sports or state?
Sports
or state? We will leave a little bit at the end for state, but just go through sports very quickly here. On softball, girls softball, Summit comes in at number 9 in large class. In the small class, it is dominated by Southern Middle Tennessee. Eagleville at number 2, Forest at number 3, Summertown at 8, and Columbia Academy at 9. So great girls softball being played in Southern Middle Tennessee.
Baseball's not too shabby.
Baseball's not too shabby, but not as dominant as the girls are. Large class, Independence comes in at number 6. Small class, you got Columbia Academy at 4, Loretto at 5, and Eagleville at 6. Some of those familiar names in baseball. Congratulations to Connecticut for winning the men's game. Great game plan. Don't let anybody else beat you. Don't let Zach Edey beat you. Make everybody else do it. They had a great game plan and pulled that off, so congratulations.
He still scored 37.
37 points, but nobody else scored anything.
Yeah, but they knew he was going to get his.
Right, and so they let him do what he was going to do and just shut everybody else down. Great job there. And then on the girls' game, it was the most watched sporting event, topping most all college football of last year.
How about that?
Almost 20 million people watched a girls' game. Iowa did everything they could, but boy, South Carolina is really, really good. Undefeated season.
First time since UConn did it, I think.
And that in college basketball, that is extremely difficult, especially playing in the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
Extremely difficult. So South Carolina, congratulations. Iowa made a great run, did everything they could. Now it's what's going to happen with Caitlin as she goes to the WNBA, or rumor has it she may just come back one more year, make about $20 million in NIL, and call it a career. So
it might be very smart.
It might be very smart for her. And then at the state level, fantastic news. The bill that we've been working on the County Powers Relief Act, it did pass the House floor yesterday.
Good.
The Senate should be taking it up next week, so that will become law. What it does is what the Maury County Commission has been asking for, the ability to help growth pay for growth. And Senator Hensley, myself, Representative Capley, and others, we've been working on this for 3 years.
Oh, yes.
You have.
And we finally got it across the finish line with help from the builders and realtors coming on board, realizing that they had to contribute. So what's going to happen is Maury County Commission can adopt a impact fee for Maury County. It'll go from, on residential, 50 cents to $1.50. And on commercial, which we weren't expecting, it's going to go from 30 cents to $1.50.
Okay.
All right, now, Scott, would this be statewide, or is it just for different counties?
Just for the high-growth counties, like the County's Power Relief Act says, is you have to show a 20% growth over 10 years. So from 2010 to 20, Maury County qualifies. Or you can take a 4-year span and show 9% growth and qualify.
Okay.
And if something happens that our growth slows down, then we would fall out of this and we could go back to our original private act to still maintain some ability. But as your growth starts to slow down, then the need for all this infrastructure starts to slow down too. So it's been a 3-year battle. We've been fighting and fighting and fighting. And finally, sometimes it's easy and sometimes it's difficult. But we got it across the finish line. We're waiting for the Senate. And I talked to Senator Hensley. He thinks it should be no problem. Governor has made every inclination that he's going to sign it. So, delivered. So, that's the job.
Well, that's good.
Congratulations. Fingers crossed until such time as it's final.
I'm sure the Senate's already voted on this, and it's been flying through the Senate. So, we should be fine. And honestly, it went along party lines, believe it or not. Not one Democrat voted for it.
Well,
on the House floor, not one Democrat.
How could you not vote to support your constituency?
That's a question that they have to answer to their constituents.
Yeah.
But the budget looks like we're about 2 weeks away. Normally, we're on the House floor twice a week. We'll be on the House floor 5 times next week, Monday through Friday. We're way behind.
Uh-huh.
We've got calendar stacked up. We've got to get through about 150 to 180 bills on the floor. So, and trust me, we're getting about 12 a day with the debate that's going on up there. 12 a day. So we got some time. Hopefully 2 weeks, probably a week from this coming Friday, might be sine die to wrap up another 2 years. The franchise and excise tax proposals are light years apart, so I don't know what's going to happen on that. I understand the tax cut, but I'm really struggling with the $700 million to pay these corporations that most of them received benefits from the state already for, like, pilot programs, things like that. So
A lot of us have some apprehension about that bill. The tax cut, I get it. I get it. But the other part where we're basically buying them off, I got a little problem with that part. And then the school choice bill, we were in meetings yesterday for 4.5 hours with the Senate. We did make some progress. Some of the progress I didn't like. I'll be honest with you. I've got some heartburn on some of the stuff that the Senate's proposing. But we'll do the best we can, and hopefully we'll have a better update next Friday of what happened on a momentous week coming up in the General Assembly of 5 days on the House floor.
Woo! And the TCAP testing is going on.
Oh, yes.
My third grader is...
And by the way, we did next week, the fourth grade fix will be on the House floor also. We're going to take retention off the table in fourth grade. We're going to give the principal, the teacher, and the parent, 2 out of 3 have to agree on a student that's struggling. Are they going to get summer school? Are they going to get summer school and tutoring? What type of interventions? Or... With the agreement of 2 out of 3 to retain the students. So we're going to put that back in control of the locals.
That makes sense.
So there you go.
But if you have nothing to do this week, look toward a schoolhouse and put your hand over your heart and pray
for everybody, teachers, staff, children.
They are under so much pressure.
Yep. Anything going on with dropping some of that those requirements down to a kindergarten or first grade level?
Yeah, there's going to be a bill. Well, I mean, it's in my desk right now. We have a bill bringing those supports down starting in kindergarten for summer school and tutoring. We were told to hold off this year because we're waiting to see what the fourth grade and the third grade TCAP test scores look like.
Uh-huh.
If those hold or get better, that's what we're hoping for, then that tells us, yes, it worked, but if we do it earlier, we'll get even better results.
That's when problems need to be identified.
So that bill's in my desk, ready to go. I've already talked to everybody's on board with it. And then also we are working on I lost my train of thought.
It doesn't matter. You got enough bills.
You got a lot of stuff
going
on.
You're not going to run out of things to work on, are you?
We hadn't talked about this with Scott, but the Farmland Preservation Bill, which was supported by Tennessee Farm Bureau, apparently failed in committee.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Do you have any insight on that?
No, I don't. I heard about it. I mean, I've...
When you got 116 bills, it's not
well,
like...
You know, I got this one bill that's chewing up a lot of my time. What's it called? School choice. Yeah,
right.
Here's what I'm going to tell you is sometimes things die in committee because there's an objection somewhere that they it's like an aha moment.
Uh-huh.
Like somebody reads something and goes, ooh, I didn't think about that. And so it kills the bill. There's a lot of that goes on because some people purposely wait to run bills late in the year. We're going to hit flow motion on Monday. So normally it takes you have to lay the bill over every week to advance it.
Uh-huh.
In flow motion, I can have it in the next committee within hours.
Oh.
So that's where you find out at the end of the... Now, I will get very attentive on the House floor now, very attentive, because you can get bad bills to the House floor real quick.
Well, yeah.
And so you've got to be very careful moving forward under flow motion about what's coming to the House floor, and you'll see debate really start to pick up here.
And you can watch it if the state legislature's live video feed, if you want to watch it, because it's very interesting if you've never watched it.
Yep.
Watch it just to watch how it... is it Lamberth that talks a lot?
Yeah.
He talks like an auctioneer on the floor. It's hard to follow him, but he's trying to move it faster. Yeah, so.
Have a report next week for you and maybe call in the Delk.
Well, I'll tell you, though. Scott.
We'd welcome you anytime, Scott.
We got to get your priorities straight here. We expect you to be on Inside Middle Tennessee next Friday morning.
Yes, sir.
You know, that's your previous engagement.
That's right.
And where you need to be.
It's a standing appointment.
That's right, standing appointment to...
Well, sometimes Mr. York misses me, so I got to call in once more. I got to set him straight.
I bet he does. So anyway, folks, there's the music. You know, we didn't even get a chance to talk about the Masters tournament.
No, but it's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
Just to say that on television is just beautiful.
Well, you ought to see it in person.
I know.
I mean, it's grand. Here we go. We'll be back with Inside Middle Tennessee.
All righty.
Keep smiling until then. Who cares about